and put bathrooms in the zoo. But please don't monkey with Broadway. Put big floodlights in the park and put Jersey in the dark. But please don't monkey with Broadway. Though it's tawdry and plain, it's a lovely old lane full of landmarks galore and memories gay. And put Queens anywhere. But please, please, I beg on my knees, don't monkey with old Broadway. Close the village honky-tonks, suppress cheering in the Bronx. But please, don't monkey with Broadway. See that Brooklyn hipster there, shave his beard and wash his hair. But please, don't monkey with Broadway. Think what names used to dance on this road of romance. Think what stars used to stroll along it all day. Make City Hall a skating rink and push Wall Street in the drink. But please, please, I beg on my knees, don't monkey with old Broadway.
Actress and musical legend Patti LuPone will be in our region for a pair of events. On Thursday, she will visit the University at Albany for an evening of conversation with me as part of the New York State Writers Institute's conversation series, The Creative Life. And on Friday night, the two-time Tony Award winner will perform at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady, her new show, Don't Monkey with Broadway, where she wonderfully interprets classic Broadway show tunes, which features music by the likes of Richard Rodgers, Lorenz Hart, Jules Stein, Stephen Schwartz, Leonard Bernstein, Stephen Sondheim, Cole Porter, and Irving Berlin. Patti LuPone also takes you behind the curtain on her lifelong love affair with Broadway and her concern for what the Great White Way is becoming today. It is a pleasure to speak to Patti LuPone this morning on the Roundtable. How are
you? I'm fine. What an introduction. Thank you very much.
Well, it's a great pleasure. You have a lot. I mean, I had to edit a lot out, too. There's a lot going on in your world and in your life. Let us talk about Don't Monkey with Broadway. You put a wonderful CD out at the end of 2017. You are now touring with it. What is it like to talk about and really present this incredible songbook?
Well, it's just it's my life. Do you know what I mean? How I discovered I had a voice and how I knew that I would end up on the Broadway musical stage. As a very small child growing up in Northport, Long Island, in the 50s and 60s, it's about that, really. It's about how that all happened to me. And it was all instinctual, really. And my mother used to buy these albums before there were tabloids and at the checkout counters of markets or drugstores, et cetera. There were these albums, Ed Sullivan Presents, at the checkout in East Northport, Long Island, the AMP supermarket checkout. And Mom would buy, you could buy Ed Sullivan Presents Roberta for a dollar. So every week we went shopping, she'd buy another album. And that was basically my musical theater education. And they were the songs that there were certain songs that I listened to, and I'd listen to them over and over and over again and stage them and pretend I was the character. And just, that was my imagination just going crazy. But it was really my destiny. It was where I was going to end up.
And the other thing, too, is that Ed Sullivan was presenting some really cool stuff, wasn't he? I mean, this was great music.
It wasn't. In some cases, it was the original, one or two members of the original cast, and sometimes it was replacements, but the replacements were always, you know, incredible performers in their own right.
But you bonded with that. There was something about that you, because it was the music, it was the music and it was the words, right?
Yes, exactly. It was definitely that. And it was Rodgers and Hart, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Julie Stein, you know, Meredith Wilson. It was sort of the golden age of Broadway musicals. It was amazing as a kid, to get lost in, you know, one of those presentational songs, like Soliloquy, just to get lost. I had no idea what the musical was about. I had no idea what this guy was singing about, but I could figure it out, or I could at least assume that I could make it up. You know what? I could make it up. It was my musical theater education, basically.
Let us talk just about the title, Please Don't Monkey with Broadway. So where does that title come from?
Well, it's a song
that
Fred Astaire sings. And it's sort of, you know, I don't know what they've done to Times Square, But they've destroyed it, you know, by making it a pedestrian mall, which I don't think the city can afford. Do you know what I mean? I don't think the infrastructure of Times Square can support more hotels and more people wandering the streets. I just don't think it can. And it's whoever created this pedestrian mall took the focus off the theater district. I mean, this Times Square was dedicated to literary and theatrical, and it's neither now. I don't know what it is. It's a jumbotron.
I was thinking about that because your last show, War Paint, was right in the center of that. I mean, you were just a step away from it.
No, we were just south of it. We were just south of it. And I used to get mad at the driver that was driving me to work if we went through Times Square, because you look out at these people and you think, what are you doing with your lives? You are standing around doing nothing. That's what Times Square looks like. People just standing around doing nothing. You know, they're not shopping. They're just standing around.
They're gaping.
How does that enrich one's soul? Do you know what I mean? This isn't Les Rompas. This isn't, you know, in Barcelona. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what it is, but it is. Oh, I used to get so depressed. And you know, when there's on YouTube, there are these videos of just being able to sail down Broadway in the 80s. And you just yearn for the day you can be in a cab just sailing down Broadway. Oh, God.
Now, because the way that it used to be was, that, and I assume, because you just mentioned this, that because it takes away what was the focal point, which was the theater district, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, you named after the New York Times. And it was a literary, you know, there were restaurants and there was, you know, dens, you know, there were jazz clubs, there was theater. It's very difficult to get to the theater now. You have to swat people out of the way to get to the theater.
Well, 8th Avenue is your friend, right?
It's weird. It's like, I'm going to the theater tonight. It's actually in the theater that I did War Paint at. And it's like, okay, how am I going to get there?
Yeah.
How am I going to avoid the crush? But I said this years ago when they were about to do this. I said, how am I going to get to the theater? How are the people that work in that district, how are they going to get there? And it's a perpetual problem. Getting to the theater.
I just saw you at the opening of Three Tall Women.
And my
God, what a show, first of all. Good Lord. But that's still your life, right? I mean, but seeing what the theater can do and seeing what's happening in these theaters is still very much a part of you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you can kill the theater. I really don't. I think that in a recession, people need entertainment, and when we're flush, people want entertainment. So I don't think, I remember when there was the crash, like 2008, I believe,
yeah.
And somebody interviewed me, and I said, he wanted me to say that we would suffer, and I went, we're not going to suffer. We are not, and we didn't. So, I just think human nature needs it. And any form of entertainment.
So with that idea of any form of entertainment and also don't monkey with Broadway, what do you think when it comes to the Broadway musical? Are we monkeying too much with that?
No, I just saw Frozen and I saw SpongeBob and I saw Band's Visit. And I'm going to see Carousel and My Fair Lady, and what am I missing? I don't know whether we're monkeying with anything. My objections are the sound, the volume. It's too loud. It's sort of blasting me. I can't understand lyrics. But the quality is extremely high. The talent on the stages, it breaks my heart. It doesn't break my heart. It fills my heart with joy.
Yeah.
There's so much talent on the stage on Broadway now. And I said that last season as well. I thought the cast of Great Comet was the most talented thing I had seen in a long time. And the talent is off the charts, and the material, one always hopes that the material rises to the ability to the players. And this season I loved SpongeBob and I loved Frozen, and I'm a snob, and I'm a snob because this has been my life. Do you know what I mean? And I've seen my share of bad theater, and I wonder why they're doing SpongeBob, and I wonder why Disney's making, you know, musicals out of cartoons. However, it's fantastic. You know what I mean? It's just, I just, my I have two objections: the volume and the price of the ticket. And,
right.
And I think it's so outrageous that the tickets are that expensive. Outrageous. It's like, you know, when I went and saw Frozen, there were a family of four sitting in front of me, and I went, how do you afford this?
But that's $1,000 right there.
And you know that poor father's been saving up forever, because this wasn't, you know, like the Westchester Country Club set. This was a working man with two small kids. And and one of them fell asleep. And I'm just wondering what the father thought. Damn it, I saved all this money, and you're sleeping through the show. But, it's just too expensive. It's just too expensive. Nothing is worth that much, except for a Chagall or something. But so and the volume. I think, I can hear. So don't blast me out of the theater. Make me listen again, as opposed to forcing me.
You mentioned the band's visit, and that performance by Katrina Lenk is absolutely stunning.
And Tony Shalhoub.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No. It is all of them again, and what that musical says. Oh, yeah. That is like, it's such a departure. And I've worked with David Yazbek in Women on the Verge, and I find him to be the most unique voice on Broadway. And I just think we need him so much. We need his voice, his take on music so much. We need the variety, and we have it. It's like, Bobby Lopez is great. It's just wonderful to walk into a theater and just to experience so many points of view delivered so many different ways. It's a good season. I think, I could be wrong, but I think it's a good season.
No, I agree with you. It also, let me ask you a question about War Paint, because this was the last show you did. So my two questions are, one, did you have a say in, hey, don't make this too loud?
Yes.
And that was something you were concerned about.
Yep.
How did that manifest itself?
They didn't. I mean, it's not that they didn't, because I said it, they didn't. It wasn't the nature of the piece.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it's not the nature of a lot of pieces, and they still make it loud because they underestimate the audience. I said, when we did Sweeney, we had Dan Moses Schreier as our sound guy, and John Doyle wanted it to sound as acoustical as possible. And the thing that the sound designers forget is most of these Broadway theaters are perfect acoustical houses without amplification. So you don't need that much amplification for people to hear. And when you blast them out of the theater, they stop listening. And what you want is an audience to come to the stage. You want to force them to listen. Not force them, but in the case of theater now, you have to force them because they're so used to being blasted out of their seats. I saw West Side Story. West Side Story is already a loud score. It's an emotionally volatile score. It was too loud for me to hear the dynamics in Leonard Bernstein's score. So I didn't, it's like the soft was as loud as the loud. That's developing a bad audience or a lazy audience, and it's not fair to the composers.
This fascinates me. Can you tell a lazy audience? When you're out there, can you tell a lazy audience?
Yeah, but for the most part, they're not.
Yeah,
they'll be lazy if they're taken out of the play because they can't get involved. So why can't they get involved? Because they can't understand the lyrics. Why can't they understand the lyrics? Because it's too loud.
When you perform in these beautiful plays, I mean, Proctor's is a gorgeous theater, so you'll be performing obviously bigger than most Broadway houses, but so. How do you work with that in getting that equation right, both for you and for the audience?
Well, we do an extensive sound check so that I can hear. And then, I always ask the question, how much does the theater dull when an audience comes in? And hopefully the crew knows and tells me, the crew of each theater. But I think it starts with eye connection. I really do. I think it starts with me looking people in the eye, as opposed to not. I think that you can't necessarily do that in musicals, but you can, in fact, connect with an audience immediately to relax them, to tell them, come with me on this journey. And That's called command of the stage.
And you, you certainly have command of the stage, and you feel that command, right? Do you feel that?
I feel it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I don't feel command. I feel like I know what I'm doing up there, which is command.
So, well, confidence, right? Confidence.
Yeah.
But I mean, then that's infectious, that people know that you know what you're doing, and there you are. But there obviously it's the incredible sound, the incredible music, and the wonderful stories that you're telling as well.
Right. I mean, all of it has to work. But a lazy audience, I don't know if it's laziness that I mean, or just sort of they lose interest because they can't get involved.
Yeah.
And if they, I saw Hair originally, and then I saw the revival of Hair. And there was a competition between the band and the singers. When I saw it originally, it was a very intimate show. Now it's a very loud show. I can't understand the brilliant lyrics, and I can't hear the singers because the band is louder than the singers. So I didn't understand. I lost interest. I couldn't get involved. That's my big problem with musicals, is volume, too.
So what does it take for you when War Paint comes around? What is it about a piece of work that you say, okay, I want to become involved with this for it's a long relationship.
Yeah, this was a very long relationship. This was like 3 years. Material and the creative staff.
And you know that going in.
And they wanted me.
Yeah. But I assume a lot of people want you, but it's what you want to do, right?
Well, no, not a lot of people. No, there's not a lot of people that want me. Or if they want me in really small parts. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Now, I think.
I don't think so.
I think our audience would be surprised to hear you say that.
I just got offered a reading of something that was in a small part. And I'm going, you have got to be kidding me. It's a pass. Hello. Goodbye. No, it was a small part. I'm going, because they think of my age. And they think that, well, okay, there's really nothing for you now except for this. Well, then you don't get me. What I mean? You just don't get me. I'll do something else. I'm not going to do that because I don't buy into that. Even if they're not going to write parts for women, that's why War Paint was so unique. Know what I mean? It was Christine and I are both in our mid to late 60s.
Christine Ebersole.
Yeah, those parts, they wrote parts for women in their mid to late 60s that covered 30 years. So we were able to play 30 to 60. And, there might be a pay gap in Hollywood. And there's what's the word I'm looking for here, for women on stage or just women, period. We're very fascinating at a certain age. We have experience. We have, let's leave it at that. We have experience.
Yeah. And when it comes to work, that classic work, are there still roles? Are there roles out there that you would love to play that you would say, okay, let's do this?
Oh, yeah, but I'm lazy. Talking about lazy. I'm lazy. I don't go after parts. But I mean, because if I do, I don't get them. So I let nature take its course. The universe is unfolding. I can't be disappointed anymore, I've been disappointed wanting roles I didn't get, and it's heartbreaking. This business is heartbreaking. So I don't go after roles anymore. If they want me, then it's the right thing to do.
So is there a great role that you would just are dying to play, that you would love to play?
No, not in musicals anymore.
Yeah.
They all went away. They've all passed me. I didn't get the role, so.
But you still, so with that, let's go back to the idea of monkeying with Broadway. Do you think that all can be fixed?
What? Times Square?
Well, no, I mean in the sense of roles for women, roles for older women, audiences are there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just did the, I was a part of the panel for the Jonathan Larson Grant for these new composers and lyricists and book writers. And there are some heavyweights out there, kids. They have to get produced, though, and they're coming in with tremendous ideas that are left of center. You know what I mean? And they're not necessarily written for women my age, but they're written for women. They're written for gender fluid people. They're written for, it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible. And I hope they get produced because there's still great vitality in the theater because of these kids.
So you'll be performing at Proctor's on Friday night, and that'll be an amazing show. It is called Don't Monkey with Broadway. Then you and I will be in conversation the night before Thursday night as part of the Creative Life series. And if this portion of the conversation is any indication, it will be very lively, and we'll have a lot to talk about.
I hope so.
I look forward to it.
I do too.
A lovely time. Patti LuPone's Creative Life Conversation with me will take place at 7 p.m. on Thursday at Page Hall on New Albany's downtown campus. And then on Friday, she'll be performing at Proctor's Theater in Schenectady at 8 p.m. for her new show, Don't Monkey with Broadway, also the name of her new album, which is absolutely beautiful. Proctors.org for more information. Patti LuPone, I will see you in a few days, and thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Patti LuPone with the Creative Life Series Thursday night at Page Hall in Albany. Just go to the New York State Writers Institute page to find out more information about that event. Proctors.org for her performance on Friday night. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Anybody that stays home is dead. If I die, it won't be from sitting. It'll be from fighting to get up and get out. Some people can get a thrill knitting sweaters and sitting still. That's okay for some people who don't know they're alive. Some people can thrive and bloom living life in a living room. That's perfect for some people of 105. But I at least got a toy. When I think of all the sights that I gotta see, yet all the places I gotta play, all the things that I gotta be, yet come on, Papa, what do you say? Some people can be content playing bingo and paying rent. That's peachy for some people, for some humdrum people to be. But some people ain't me. I had a dream, a wonderful dream, Papa. All about June in the Orpheum Circuit. Give me a chance and I know I can work it. I had a dream, just as real as can be, Papa. There I was in Mr. Orpheum's office, and he was saying to me, Rose, get yourself some new orchestrations, new routines and red velvet curtains. Get a feathered hat for the baby, photographs in front of the theater. Get an agent, and in cheek time you'll be being booked in the big time. Oh, what a dream. Dream, Papa, and all that I need is $88, Papa. That's what he said, Papa. Only $88. Goodbye to Blueberry Pie. Good riddance to all the socials I had to go to, all the lodges I had to play, all the Shriners I said hello to. Hey, LA, I'm coming. Way. Some people sat on their butts, got the dream, yeah, but not the guts. That's living for some people, for some humdrum people.